We're staying in the world of theatre, in fact, and this is Pop Baby, who've announced the second edition of their Where We Live event, which lands at Dublin's Project Arts Centre from the 11th through until the 21st of March, and it's part of this year's St. Patrick's Festival. They will be presenting 22 shows, which will explore what it's like to live in Dublin today. Jenny Jennings is the director of one of those shows, an Australian play with the wonderful title of Shit. I try not to say it too often in the midst of this item. Thank you for the title of the play, first of all, Jenny. But before we get stuck into the play itself, this is part of the Where We Live Festival. Just tell us about the origins of this festival. Is this the second year of it?
Yeah, it's the second iteration of this festival. The first was in 2018. Mm. And it's a kind of ferocious response to what it feels like and what it means to live in Dublin and Ireland today. So it's a programme of predominantly brand new work from Irish makers and storytellers. And we take over and transform a space. In 2018, it was the Complex, which was part
Smithfield.
Yes, yeah, kind of part warehouse, part kitted out theatre. And this time it's Project Arts Centre, right in the heart of town.
And the concentration here is quite definitely Dublin and the city, is it?
It is, because we're very much Dubliners, and Dublin is such a central character in nearly everything that we do. It's mainly Dublin, but we are really talking about the whole country, actually. And we've got some artists from Cork, we've got some artists from other parts of the country, but it is primarily a kind of a love letter and a crying wail to the city that we're living in.
Which brings me to the play. And as I said in the menu before tonight's programme, you went to Australia to find this Dublin vernacular.
It's really interesting because this is Pop Baby. We mainly deal with new Irish writing. So this is a bit of an outlier really for us. But I saw the play in Sydney Festival in 2017. And I was struck firstly by the originality and the complexity of the characters.
Yeah, the playwright is a woman called Patricia Cornelius.
Yeah, very highly regarded playwright, very radical playwright. She just won an esteemed prize, the Wyndham Campbell Prize, which is when they just call you and let you know you've won about $250,000 and you've no idea you're even in the running. So I saw this play and I was struck first, as I said, by the originality, but secondly, I thought, oh my gosh, this reads like a Dublin play.
I have to admit, I knew nothing of its Australian origins when I read it. And I was totally surprised when I was subsequently told, you do know that's an Australian playwright.
It's quite extraordinary.
We've three characters, Billy, Bobby and Sam. Don't be misled by the names.
Yes, that's right. Three unrelentingly terrible women who are also very, very funny. And the play is very dark, but it's really, really hilarious, actually, in that darkness, just like a good old Irish play. And the language is very athletic. The cursing is practically virtuosic in it. The characters felt very familiar to me. They actually, of course, like Australia is a very different social and political landscape. But in Dublin, these characters, as I was sitting there watching it in Sydney, I was thinking of the women of the Liffey Boardwalk and women who kind of shout at each other from one end of the Lewis train to the other. So they really resonated with me.
Yeah, and despite the fact that the origins of the play might be Australia, I suppose the conditions that the three women find themselves in, the ideas that they're talking about, the stories that are telling, they're universal. They in fact could be anywhere, but they have a particular resonance, some of them, in Dublin, in today's Dublin.
I think it feels very, very urgent and pertinent for today's Dublin. And I think that the play has got such a great universality. In one set of circumstances, you might look at it through a gender lens. I think in Dublin, people will very much look at it through a social inequality lens.
Yeah, because I mean, to give an example of some of the stories, because essentially the three women tell us stories from their lives or things that the parts of their own experiences. One of the characters talks at one point about what I think she's fostered out to a family, and it's a family that's very happy. and she actually finds it very difficult to deal with the amount of love that's flying around the family in some ways, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, these women have just, you know, they're in the system. They're in the system, and they just have come up against the worst luck in their lives. And the play is set over the course of a very short period of time in a particular environment. I don't want to say too much of it because the plot is so clever.
Well, we kind of get, there are two settings, if you like, going on. There's the three women playing to us, and then there's this kind of room area where other things happen.
Yes.
We don't need to go too much further than that.
And all will be revealed. But these women have had very tough lives.
Sexual violence has been part of their backgrounds.
Absolutely. And in a way, actually, what these women have gone through would be very familiar to, you know, any women, no matter where you are on the social ladder. But they seem to have had absolutely no luck. But the women are very nuanced. The characters are very complex, and they're operating on at least three levels at any one time. So it's great fun to play with.
Yeah, and I would say I don't know how it works in terms of the actors in the room, because when you read it, there are very short lines for the most part. There are no big long speeches here. A couple of kind of extended paragraphs, but to a large extent, it's three characters rapid fire at each other, one of them topping the other, you know, outsmarting them, outwitting them, outjoking them all the time. It moves at quite a lick.
Yeah, and the power keeps shifting, and the status keeps changing, and the allegiances change all the time. Like, it's a really great piece of writing. And I've got three incredible performers, Kate Stanley Brennan and Aisling O'Mara and Nikki Kavanagh. So the piece is very well served by those three women.
The aspects of it that you think are particularly Irish, I suppose what we should talk about, how much did you have to change the script, in fact? Did you have much to do with it to shift it from its original Australian, its origins, rather than its Australian setting, because that's not clear on the page that it's set in Australia?
Yeah, so I guess two things. No, there's one word really, Duna, which is unfamiliar to Irish audiences. It means duvet.
I read that. I did wonder, what are they saying there about Duna and duvet?
And they call their mother's mum. Which doesn't feel right, really, for a Dublin setting. It feels more like, you know, ma'am.
Yeah.
And that's really it.
Or Babby, they could say Mammy or Ma.
Yeah.
But that, apart, Duna was the only word that kind of caught me out. I thought, what's that referring to? And I thought, maybe it's a typo or something. But it's an Australian word for duvet.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say, because we did a lot of work of exploration about transposing it to a Dublin setting. We did a lot of research. We talked to people from Focus, came in to talk to us, and we really mapped it out in terms of geographical terms.
But that's Focus, the housing organisation,
So, but what we're actually, our ambition with it is to kind of liberate ourselves from all of that now, and kind of create our own world, a nearly Dublin, which is where it will be set.
Well, what kind of world are you going to create when it comes to the involvement in the Eurovision entry this year? We were all very excited to hear about This Is Pop Babies and Philly McMahon's involvement in this.
I know, it's super fun. So Philly has been in discussions with RT for a couple of years about some kind of involvement in the Eurovision. And this year, the right song, the right time, the right place all converged. And so, it's going to be hopefully an Italia 90 moment. The idea is, I'll just put it out there, the Italia 90 moment happens this year. And then next year we have the This Is Pop Baby River Dance moment when we do the interval act.
So This Is Pop Baby will actually perform the interval act a la River Dance. Well, not a la River Dance, but your particular take on whatever
it is. Sean, I've just said that as an ambition, but let's make it happen.
Yeah. So the following year will be when you do the river dance.
But I'm just like surmising.
Yeah. All right. Yes. If you're there and it's happening, I got you. So the song is in place and ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's going to be announced in about 2 weeks' time.
Right. Okay. Mm. Well, we'll listen with interest when that comes. You're all involved then, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just Philly, it's the entire organisation.
Philly's leading it as creative director, but yeah, we've all got our voice in there.
All right. Well, good luck with all of that. It'll make us all watch the Eurovision with new eyes, I'm sure. That's Jenny Jennings of This Is Pop Baby telling us about the Eurovision, the upcoming This Is Pop Baby involvement, but also about that play with the wonderful title, Shit. It takes place as part of the Where We Live Festival in the Project Arts Centre. That festival from the 11th through until the 21st of March as part of this year's St. Patrick's Festival. And the play itself is on in the project from the 11th through until the 14th of March.